The topic this morning is redemption through His blood. And Philip Bliss's song, he wrote the song, the lyrics, Once for All. You can remain seated, but pay particular close attention to the words as we sing Once for All, 274. Free from the law, oh happy condition, Jesus hath bled and there is remission. Cursed by the law and bruised by the fall, grace hath redeemed us once for all. Once for all, oh sinner, receive it. Once for all, oh brother, believe it. Cling to the cross, the burden will fall. Christ hath redeemed us once for all. Now we are free, there's no condemnation. Jesus provides a perfect salvation. Come unto me and hear His we call. Come and He saves us once for all. Once for all, O sinner, receive it. Once for all, O brother, believe it. Cling to the cross, a burden will fall. Christ has redeemed us once for all. Children of God, O glorious calling, surely His grace will keep us from falling. Passing from death to life at His call, blessed salvation once for all. Once for all, O sinner, receive it. Once for all, O brother, believe it. Thus, once for all. Thank you, Nancy.
Well, we've been doing a series on the important words that relate to our salvation. We've talked to you about conversion. We've talked to you about justification. And there's another one we talked to you about that escapes my mind right now. But this one, today, we're going to be talking about redemption through His blood. Redemption through His blood. Lynn and I were doing some family research recently on a recent trip, and it's very interesting. As we did the research and read the information, we found out that some of our family members owned slaves. And that really should not be surprising, since both my family and her family are recorded to have been from North Carolina, and my family may even have been from Virginia. But it was common in America and in our history that slavery was even continued in the North right up through the Revolutionary War. So people from both the North and the South owned slaves. And then likewise, in the South, slavery continued until the Emancipation Proclamation after the Civil War. In fact, one of the reasons that Baptists split, originally there were what was called Northern Baptists, and how many of you have heard of the Southern Baptists? Okay, the Southern Baptists. Originally, one of the reasons that there was a split between the Northern Baptists and the Southern Baptists was over the issue of slavery. Now, I find it interesting that the African slaves were bought and sold as property at the whim of the owner. It didn't matter whether they had kids, whether they didn't have kids, whether they were husbands and wives. If somebody wanted to sell them, they just sold them. They were property. Just like you would buy and sell dogs that you would raise, just like you'd buy and sell animals that you raise, calves or anything else. They were looked at as property. In fact, there is writings where some people mistakenly wrote that they didn't even have souls and all of that sort of things. In fact, in 1662, Virginia law assumed that Africans would remain slaves for life, and oftentimes they were passed on in wills of people to other people. In 1667, an act declared that Christian baptism doth not alter the condition of a person as to his bondage or freedom. In other words, if you accepted Christ as your personal Savior and got biblically baptized, if you were a slave, you still remained a slave. If you were free, you still remained free. In fact, it's very interesting, some reading I've recently been doing. A lot of times the owners did not want the slaves involved in Christianity because it seemed to have an influence on them, and so oftentimes for attending church services or being biblically baptized, they would be beaten. How foolish and how terrible of a situation that was. By 1740, slavery, the system in the United States of America, was fully developed, and the Virginia law that year declared that slaves were chattel personnel in the hands of their owners. In other words, you could do with them whatever you wanted to do. Literally, life and death were in the power and in the hands of the owner. That really was brought to be living in my mind when several years ago I took the family and we visited Fredericksburg, historic Fredericksburg, Virginia. And as we're walking down the street, I saw it coming up. I thought, well, what is it? It looks like a post, not quite as big around as a 55-gallon drum. It looked even a little bit smaller than a garbage can. But there's this pillar is about 2.5 feet off the ground, and sitting there, I thought, why in the world did somebody have it there? Until I got real close. And I saw the plaque on that. And as I look, it says, this was the slave market where slaves were bought and sold. So I stood up there on that pillar and had Linda take a picture of me, and I had Linda be on the pillar, and I think I had my daughter be on the pillar as well. You say, why did you do that? Because before we come to know Jesus Christ as personal Savior, we are all slaves. Slaves to the world, slaves to the flesh, slaves to the devil, sold under sin. We're slaves for life. There's nothing that we can do in our own power to extricate us out of the position of being spiritual slaves, helpless and hopeless, with no future. It's a precarious situation that we're in outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what I want to talk about then is redemption, because redemption changes all of that. Praise God. We sang a song, Christ Hath Redeemed Us Once for All. Before a person trusts Christ as Savior, he or she is a slave in the dominion of darkness, Satan's dominion. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 1 and in verse 13. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13, we read it together, but I want you to see this, because this tells us the spiritual state that we're in, the state of slavery that we're in before we come to know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. It says, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. Before you know Jesus Christ as personal Savior, you are in the dominion of darkness. After you're redeemed, you're translated into the kingdom of His dear Son. So I just want to tell you, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior today, you're in the dominion of Satan. In fact, turn with me to Galatians chapter 4 and verse 3. In Galatians chapter 4 and in verse 3, It says, even so, when we were children, and that's speaking about before we came to know Jesus Christ as Savior, it says, we were in bondage under the elements of the world. In bondage under the elements of the world. The word bondage here is the Greek word that means to be made a slave. That is a precarious position to be in. When you are a slave, you are under the dominion of the whims of whoever you are owned by. And it says very, very clearly here in the rest of this verse, it makes it clear, it says you're in bondage to the elements of the world. What is that? Well, the elements of the world are those principles and those practices of the world, those perversions of the world, the sins of the world, the sins of the old nature. You're in bondage to those. You can't get loose of those. They have their grips on you. And there's more. Turn with me to Romans chapter 6. In Romans chapter 6, and in verse 17, a very timely passage of Scripture that tells it like it is. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 17, it says this. It says, but God be thanked. It says that ye were. This is talking to believers now. Romans is written to believers. But before they were saved, it says that ye were the servants of sin. The servants of sin. Very interestingly, the word servants there is the word douloi in the Greek. And that means that you are a slave. Simply stated, all unsaved people are slaves to sin. Romans chapter 7 verse 14 says they are sold under sin. What does that mean? The phrase means that they are entirely under the control of sin. They are unable to free themselves from this slavery. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior today, you are a slave. But I got good news for you. You can be free. But it is not through your own works. It is not through your own efforts. It is through the Redeemer, who is none other than Jesus Christ the Lord. So let's look at the definitions of redemption. Perhaps the most basic definition of redemption is this: liberation, because a payment is made. In Charles Ryrie's Basic Theology, that's the basic definition, that redemption is liberation because a payment is made. The word redeem is a term that has its roots in the world of commerce and business. In fact, it was a term that was specifically used when you were selling and buying slaves. The word redeemed meant the act of buying a slave from the slave market in order to give that slave his or her freedom. I think that's very interesting. When you redeem someone, it includes both deliverance and the price paid for the slave, which is called a ransom. A ransom. I think that's important for you to grasp as well. I like the way that Bancroft puts it in Elemental Theology. He says, redemption is borrowed from the transaction among men, such as the release of a captive upon the payment of a ransom, or the release of an imprisoned debtor by liquidating his debt. Jesus Christ liquidated our debt on the cross of Calvary so that we might be free, friends. And, you know, I don't understand how people don't want to receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, that they want to continue to live as slaves. They want to continue to be a slave to the world, to the flesh, and to the devil, when the price has already been paid, when the ransom has been paid. But people want to do that. When you understand these concepts, you can see that New Testament redemption is deliverance from the enslavement of sin and releasing or being released to a new freedom. And this is all accomplished by the sacrifice of our Redeemer, Jesus Christ. The death of Christ is the redemptive price. Now, let's look more at the development of redemption. For you to really understand redemption, there's three Greek words that we're going to be looking at. And I think you can tell the difference, even though you might not read or understand Greek, you should be able to understand it well enough. There's the first one. It's agorazo. That's one word we're going to be looking at. And it's very interesting. That's where we get our word agora, or it means the marketplace, okay? We'll talk about agorazo. And then there's a little addition to that word, a prefix called ex agorazo. That's the second word we'll look at. And finally, the third Greek word we're going to look at is lutro. Let's start out with agorazo. This word is used 31 times in the New Testament, and 3 times it's translated redeem, but 28 times it's translated bought or buy. And it's very interesting. I want you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 20. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and in verse 20, it says of the Christian, let's go back to verse 19. It says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? That's speaking of somebody who's trusted Christ as Savior. Holy Spirit comes to live in you. It says, what? Know ye not your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. Now look at this. For ye are bought with a price. And that is the word agorazo. You are redeemed with a price. You are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body, in your spirit. Now, the word agorazo means to buy in the marketplace. Buy in the marketplace. The other day, I went into the Pick and Save store. I don't shop very often, but I went into the marketplace. I went into the Pick and Save. And you're going to laugh, but I bought an elephant. I did. You can ask my wife about that, but I bought an elephant. I went into the marketplace and I bought an elephant. Well, here's the picture. Agorazo's picture is the Lord Jesus Christ going into the slave market of the sinful, falling world and paying the price to redeem men. He came into this world, if you can think about it, Jesus Christ, he was holy, he was harmless, he was undefiled, he was separate from sinners, he lived with God in glory, yet he took upon the confinements of a human body, and he comes down here to go into a busy, filthy, dirty, unholy marketplace to buy us. Because we were stuck. We couldn't do anything to redeem ourselves. We were condemned. We were hopeless. But Jesus Christ, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He came into this marketplace that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He came in and he bought us. But what was the price that was paid? I love it. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 in your Bibles. There had to be a price paid. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19, he didn't pay it with the same thing that I bought my Egg McMuffin with this morning. No, for as much as ye know, now watch this, ye were not what? Redeemed. Redemption. For as much as you know, you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold. Well, we just use phantom money now, but anyway, or paper money. It says, we've not been redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition of your fathers. But look at the price now. Look at the price that was paid. But with the precious what? Blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. You think about it. What did Christ pay for us so that we could be released from being slaves to the world, the flesh, and the devil, the penalty, the power of sin? He paid with His precious blood. That meant death. The God of glory comes down and He takes upon human form. And He sees that we're slaves, unable to gain release for ourselves. And He says, I will pay the price. And He did on Calvary's cross. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through His infinite mercy. His child and forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Praise God. The interesting part about it is just as I didn't leave that elephant in the Pick and Save, though I bought it, I bought that elephant and I took it out of the Pick and Save. Now that brings us to our next word. Our next word is ex agorazo. You can see that this is similar to the previous word that we looked at. The difference is the preposition ex is added to the front of the word in a prefix, and ex means out from in the Greek. The word means to buy out of the market. So what's the ramifications? Jesus Christ not only paid the purchase price for us, but He completely removed the believing sinner from the dominion of the devil and the position of being a condemned slave. Bancroft puts it again, quote, the redeemed are never again to be exposed for sale, end quote. Never again. That's why salvation is a once for all proposition. As we sang, Christ hath redeemed us what? Once for all. Why? Because He went in and He paid the price for us with His own blood and He rose again from the dead and He brought us out of the dominion of Satan and He's not going to let us be sold there again, ever. And that's good news, my friends. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13. Ex agorazo appears in Galatians 3, verse 13, where it says, Christ hath redeemed us. That's the word underlying that is ex agorazo. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree. And Galatians 4, 5 says, to redeem them that were under the law, I like this part, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Now that's great news. He took us out and we were under the dominion of Satan and we had a death sentence on us. There's nothing we could do to help ourselves. Jesus Christ came in and paid the price and He didn't pay the price and then leave us in that market. He took us out of that market and He makes us His children. But as many as receive Him, to them gave He the power to become the what? Sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Glory! That ought to make a shouting Baptist out of you. Well, let me just kind of summarize before we go to the last point. Hence, we are purchased, that's agorazo, and then we are brought out of the devil's dark dominion. However, there's a final aspect of redemption. And that's where the word lutro comes in. The Greek word means to loose, to be set free by paying the price. Gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone. They're gone. He paid the price. He removed me. He brought us out of the devil's dark dominion and set us free to live a spiritual life. And for the first time, when you come to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can resist sin and say no to sin, and you have the power to make it stick because Jesus Christ hath set you free. You don't have to live the way you used to live. The things I used to do, don't do them anymore. There's been a great change since I've been what? Born again. What a blessing that is. John 5:24, though it doesn't use the word, gets the concept of this lutro, this being loosed and set free. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto what? Life. That's redemption. I've been bought and paid for. If you know Jesus Christ, you've been bought and paid for. If you don't know Jesus Christ, please turn from your sins and turn to Jesus Christ, because He is there ready. He's already paid the price and He wants to set you free. Turn with me to Titus chapter 2. In Titus chapter 2, and in verse 14, what a wonderful truth that we see here. It says, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous for good works. That he might redeem us from all iniquity. Now, the word that gets people hung up here is the word peculiar. And they say, I don't want to be peculiar. And no, if you look up the word peculiar, that means a special, separated person. That means Jesus Christ says, you're mine. And instead of having a terrible taskmaster who wants to see us damned and enslaved for all of life, Jesus Christ came that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. Amen? And what a blessing it is to belong to the Lord and be a child of the King. I don't want to go back to the slavery that I was once under. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. We referenced it earlier, but I want to have you look at it again now closer in light of what we've just said. For as much as ye know, ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold. See, we've been freed. We've been freed. We've not been redeemed with things that have limited value. We've been redeemed with the precious blood of Christ that has eternal value. And it will be valid throughout all of eternity. You know, it's very interesting. I have some money left over from when Linda and I were in Haiti as short-term missionaries many, many years ago. And you know, if I were to take that money back to Haiti today, you know what it would be worth? Zero. Some of you know who were in the service, and you know, they before the end of World War II, German marks, we took a wheelbarrow load to buy a loaf of bread. And then ultimately, those marks aren't worth anything today. But did you also know that if you took German money that I got in Germany 5 years ago and took it back to Germany today, you know how much it would be worth? Zero. Why? They use the Euro now. New currency, new money. But I want you to know that in the annals of heaven, the redemption price that was paid for you and me will be as good a billion years from now as it is this day. Because His blood will never lose its power. Ephesians 1:17, please. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 17, all look at it and ponder it. And if you don't have the redemption that is available to you, get it today. It says in actually Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7, Ephesians 1 and verse 7, it says, in whom we have redemption through His blood. Now look at this. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. I'm glad my sins have been forgiven. I'm not going to have to face them by way of condemnation ever again. And why? Is it because I'm so wonderful and so good? No. I have such a gracious wife that she doesn't stand up and say, hey, I can tell you things about that man. I can tell you this. I'm a redeemed sinner saved by grace, and I'm resting solely in the redemption that has been given to me. I didn't deserve it, but Jesus Christ paid the price, and I received Him as personal Savior, and now I am redeemed. I'm one of His. I was a slave, but He came into the slave market and He paid the price. He paid the price for my sins and set me free, but He didn't leave me in that slave market. He brought me out. But not only did He bring me out, He set me free so that I can live and serve Him in the power of the Holy Spirit. We have it good, Christian friends. We have been redeemed. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I can't imagine anybody wanting to remain a slave to sin, to the old nature, and to the devil. But maybe it's just because you never understood. You never understood what Jesus Christ has done for you. I just want to tell you, He has paid the price. And let me just tell you, that price is in escrow today. You know what an escrow means? It means it's waiting there and available. And if you will just turn from your sins and invite the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your life to forgive your sins and save your soul, that payment will be added to your account and you will join the assembly of the redeemed. The choice is yours.